unless there's some weather issues, their only scheduled day off of the month of June. So they go through that gauntlet of a road trip. They come back home, take on the Atlanta Braves, and not at full strength, but still good nonetheless. Take 2 out of 3 there. And then after losing a very tough game on Friday night, and the atmosphere at Pickles was out of control.
Yeah.
A very reminiscent of the opener against Texas in the playoffs last October. And very reminiscent, quite frankly, of a tailgate for a football playoff game. A lot of people doing their thing, getting lubed up, ready to rock and roll. All right, that got interrupted by the rain. Orioles lose. It sucked. And then bounce back and kind of hammer them the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. And what you had in common with the last two, well, the power bats were out. Santander was brilliant on Saturday, had a ribby yesterday, hit 4 home runs off of Zach Wheeler, who is one of the best pitchers in baseball. And I think you just heard the Orioles say it, and anyone who follows the game knows it anyway. Grayson Rodriguez, Corbin Burns, back to back. And Grayson had the early damage done against him on Saturday, settled down, got through 7. And then Burns, outside of, the 4th inning where things got a little shaky for him, he was pretty much dominant the entire day. And we can talk about the glorious win it was against Philadelphia. And look, Orioles trimmed 2 games off the lead in the American League East. Thank you, Boston, by the way, which we'll get to as the show progresses. But Kyle Bradish, the expected IL, UCL injury, pitching Friday night. Velocity was off the charts, 98, 99 miles per hour. He had the UCL, the PRP, started on the IL. Vinny, by no means am I trying to take a victory lap here.
No.
And when you were gone, me and Nolan even talked about it, I would be hopeful, thankful, admit I'm wrong if Bradish is throwing in September. But Friday night, and Nolan, get in here if you want, he asked out of the game.
Yeah.
Because we were watching Vinny and Nolan and listeners out there. What's happening, everybody? We'll get into the crux to the show here soon. But when he left after the 5th, I was watching with my cousin Al when I got back from Pickles. 73 pitches, I think it was.
Yep.
Something like that. Usually the hider hook comes around 100. And he'd only given up the 2 solo homers. So, and I immediately put on my Quincy hat. You know what I mean? It's like, he's hurt.
He doesn't know who Quincy
is. Yeah, he's some old Jack Clark. Anyway, what's a more modern medical reference? House?
I don't know if that's ethical doctoring there, but sure.
Yeah, okay. You knew he was hurt. I said he's hurt.
Yeah.
He's not. It's 2-1, I think, at the time when he left the game. So 73 pitches again. There was obviously an injury issue. And if you want to really revisit things, I don't know what your viewing angle was, but you saw him kind of shaking the hand there a couple of times after some pitches. So Kyle Bradish, he's on the IL. Who knows what the diagnosis officially will be? Strained UCL, which he had before. So this sucks. Sucks in a big way. But they need a pitcher.
Yep.
And could probably use a bullpen and a starter arm. And we're going back, 5 weeks, maybe? 6-man, where they have too many pitchers. They had all of these guys at their disposal, and then Wells went mid-April, so he was already kind of sorted out of the equation. But it means he comes back. Then he tears the UCL. He's already had Tommy John. Wells is, it's imminent for him. Then Kramer goes down with a tricep strain.
Yeah.
He had a shaky outing yesterday, by the way, down on the farm. And all that, now with Kyle Bradish, so you go from a surplus of starting pitching to having 2 studs, Burns and Rodriguez, Irvin, who's been outstanding. Povich pitched great in his last start, and he'll pitch this week against the Yankees. All right, Suarez is undefeated. They need some help in the rotation. They have the wherewithal down on the farm, as we've discussed. We're not telling you anything you don't even know. But how aggressive is Mike Elias going to be now? Because the Orioles would seem, Vinny and Nolan and listeners, to be the desperate ones
at this point. No doubt. Well, and because
they have a lot to play for because they're got a really good chance to win it. Listen to Jim Bowden yesterday, Bob. He said that as of right now, there's only five teams that are sellers. That's the problem for the Orioles right now. There's only five. Everybody else, he said, looking for pitching. You know what I'm saying to myself? You know, the Orioles, you know, that's the same thing. All that does is jack the price up.
Right, and they've got the pieces to bust the move. I would assume, and we'll talk about this later in the show with Daniel Allentuck, that, you know, he wants a, Elias I'm talking about, wants a controllable piece.
Yes.
Because you already have Corbin Burnes hitting free agency. And by the way, Nolan, I have changed my mind. They got to do everything they can to re-sign this guy. It's not going to happen during the year.
Bowden said 200 mil.
For how many years?
What was it?
200?
200 mil.
Oakland A's will give you 200 million for 200
Bob,
years.
Bob, Wheeler's getting 42. That's what screwed it all up.
Yeah.
And Burnes is going to want that at least.
Because he's the equal of Zach Wheeler for sure.
It's expensive.
Right. And Vinny, Nolan, listeners, feel free to get in at 410-583-1057. Hope you had a great Father's Day, fellas. It's Vinny and Haiti, Bob Haiti, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Come on in here. But it's not the annual salary, Vinny, that concerns me. It's the length of the deal.
No doubt.
You want to give him $50 million a year for 3 years? I'm assuming he might listen to that sort of deal, but it's crazy money. I mean, it's insane cash. But when you got dude dropping like flies and he hits the post every fifth day, 10 straight quality starts now, by the way, I'm rethinking things. Because, again, I always go back to, not my money. I don't give a bleep.
Right.
Beer's still going to cost $20, but it's all said and done.
Wheeler is the direct comp, though.
Yeah.
And, honestly, that's not really crazy for what Wheeler got. It was only 3 years. So, let's say something doesn't pan out. Wheeler, Burnes, whoever. You sign a pitcher for 3 years. You give them all that money. All right, it's fully guaranteed. We know how baseball contracts work. But you're only on the hook for 3 years. So if it somehow blows up in your face, you can move on from it pretty quickly. You're not tied to these guys like Bobby Bonilla for decades to come. You know, it's blank check time as far as I'm concerned for Corbin Burnes, whatever it's going to take to keep you here.
All right, Vinny, what do you think? You're a former executive of the professional sports level, the agents, and you have a pretty aggressive one there. And Scott Boras, who took a lot of heat for what happened with his guys last offseason. Where they waited to the point where Montgomery even dropped him.
I think this, Bob. I think that Boras, because of that, you know, if Corbin Burnes said, "Hey Scott, you know, we're getting a competitive deal. I want to stay here." That's what it has to happen too with Burnes. Bob, I'm with you, man. I can sleep at night knowing Corbin Burnes pitching tomorrow. Yeah, I sleep good today. Yeah,
that's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
Or the better chance is the Orioles are going to win.
And if you're a player, we got Burnes tomorrow. You know,
And by all accounts, Rockabacher, and I've never spoken to Corbin Burnes, but he likes it here and likes it here a lot. But, you know, financial security for the rest of your life is something that you'd want as well, and he is holding all the cards there. But you put on your GM hats, ladies and gentlemen. If you're trying to get Corbin Burnes signed, what would be a fair deal for him? What would be feasible for the Orioles? And again, we don't even know if David Rubenstein's ready to open some checkbooks here. I mean, he's giving out hats and he's splashing people and he's running hot dogs and all that stuff. Even what's your spending habits going to be moving forward? And real quick, Vinny, to your point, I'm just looking now at the wild card standings. There are five teams who, for all intents and purposes, are done.
Right.
They're the Angels, the A's, the White Sox, Rockies, and Marlins. 25 other teams are still looking at themselves as playoff kids. Look, Arizona went to the World Series last year. Philly did it 2 years ago.
Bowden didn't think they could get the kid that you were talking about the other day, the young guy, Bob, that throws so fast.
Miller from
Oakland. He said that would cost him Holiday, and then he said there's no way. But there's two other pitchers, he said.
Well, now we got to look more at the starting realm.
Yeah, that's sort of,
And Lizardo from Miami, and this
he mentioned him.
Garrett Crochet from the White Sox. By the way, both have already had
Tommy John
surgery, just to put that in a little perspective. But the Orioles take 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. Moo Man goes 430 plus. We heard from him. Burns, 10th grade quality start. So the Orioles handle their business after a tough Friday loss. You want to get in? Look, ladies and gentlemen, you're sitting here, an audience member in Baltimore, one of the best teams in baseball. And remember, just 3 years ago, they were arguably the worst team, which turned into Jackson Holliday and other years prior. So let's enjoy the ride. And remember that question that people used to ask, which I always thought was a little dopey at the time, but I think it's more real now. What happens first? Ravens win a Super Bowl or the Orioles win the World Series? Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. What's happening, everybody? Hope you had a great Father's Day, gentlemen, if it applies. Hey, even if you're just a pet owner.
Yep.
You're a dad, because we view pets as family here on this program anyways. We're both pet owners and lovers. 410-583-1057 is the number to get in. No musical themes. We just go with Nolan's flow here. Orioles take 2 out of 3 from the Philadelphia Phillies. Boston Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, which helps the Birds. So the Orioles will go to New York tomorrow, taking on the Yankees, a game and a half out of first place. Right now, it's Nestor Cortez for New York, Albert Suarez for the Orioles, and Yankees pitcher on Wednesdays to be determined. The speculation is it might be Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, he's, like you said, Means struggled yesterday. Cole's been, like, spectacular in his...
Kramer struggled.
Yeah, Kramer struggled. Yeah.
Means is struggling.
Yeah, Means is definitely struggling. Yeah. But, like, yeah, Cole's been outstanding. I think he's walked like one person, struck out 17 in his minor league starts.
But it leads to what we're asking you today. Corbin Burns, what's it going to take to sign him? You put on your GM hat. You're the owner. You're throwing stuff. You're the coolest guy ever. How cool are you going to be when it comes to retaining a free agent that a lot of people thought was just going to be one and done in Baltimore all along? Could this be a changing of philosophies given all the injuries you've had? And the fact that this guy hits the post every fifth day and has for the vast majority of his Cy Young Award-winning career. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee now here in Baltimore in this one. Hey, who's going to win a championship first? Remember, it's the Ravens. It's Ravens. What are you talking about? Ravens are in contention every year. Now technically, pardon me, it would be the Orioles because they'd be done in October. And the Ravens, Ravens wouldn't even hit their bye yet. By that point in the season, that interesting schedule, which we're going to get into as the show progresses. But it's no longer a far-fetched notion.
Nope.
It's a very real possibility. Now we can get into, if you're going to really dig deep, 1970, the Orioles won the World Series, Colts won the Super Bowl. 70 season into 71. Are we at that level of possible success? I think the potential's there, Vinny, for real.
Yeah, I don't know, Bob, but I would say the odds for the Orioles are better than the odds for the Ravens.
Because the AFC is so tough.
Yes.
And rightfully so, but the Ravens are the reigning AFC North champions. They were the number one seed last year.
That's
true. Did make it to the AFC championship game. But they have a very interesting schedule with all of these. You got all the primetime games. You got the Christmas Wednesday game. There's a lot of quirkiness to their schedule that, I don't know, we'll get into it later in the hour, but does it affect them? Because you don't play on Sundays only. What do they have, like 3 1 o'clock Sunday games or something crazy like that?
That means
their schedule's insane, yeah.
Yeah, that means you're good. If you have a lot of 1 o'clock games, you suck.
Yeah. Home opener against the Raiders, by the way. But we'll get into all of that and more. 410-583-1057 is the number. Anything you want to get into, Tank Davis demolishes Frank Martin in the 8th round on a Saturday night in Vegas. Martin made it interesting. Look, the dude was undefeated, and he's not a slouch by any stretch of the imagination, but he was aggressive early, smart, I should say, won the first 3 rounds, and then started to find himself on the ropes and the ropes and the ropes, and then he found himself on the canvas. We'll get into that more in depth during the whip around. Stanley Cup NBA Finals, very similar because Dallas and Edmonton were both down 0-3 and both not only won their respective game fours, Vinny, won them handily.
It was not even a good, neither one was a good watch. I mean, I turned it on. I mean, the Panthers, they threw in the towel in the second second period when, you know, they took out Bobrovsky. All right, go ahead and rest.
Yeah, take a rest, Bob.
Yeah.
NBA Finals, Dallas Hammer Times, Boston on Friday night. Bryson DeChambeau, he won the U.S. Open dramatic fashion as well over Rory McIlroy, who I guess was inspired by reconnecting with his wife or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I mean, Bob, Rory was up two. Like, he was minus eight. DeChambeau had dropped to minus six. He's up two. Then McIlroy, like, misses putts that we would feel good about making. He missed two. And then DeChambeau, you know, I mean, his last hole, he had a fifth. He was in the sand trap 55 feet away and put it within inches. And that's what won it for him.
410-583-1057 is the number. Get on in here. Let's get out to the phones. Go to Harry in Owings Mills. Harry, what's happening?
Good morning. Ain't life grand?
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Jenny, Nolan, how are you all today?
Wonderful.
Hey, well, let me tell you about my weekend. Now, I heard Rashawn last week talk about going to the game Friday behind home plate.
He was there.
I saw him on TV.
You saw him?
Yep.
All right.
Oh, he was there. Oh, he was all over it. Because let's right. just say Rashawn makes it known that he's
Did he bring you there. A beer, Bob?
He did.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll hear from him today. Rashawn was in full effect, as they say, Harry, on Friday night.
Well, to my delight, I find out from my son, for Father's Day, he gives me Phillies Orioles tickets to the Saturday game behind home plate.
Ooh, nice.
Somewhere I've never been before. It was absolutely amazing, electric playoff atmosphere. And the Orioles and Santander, from where we were sitting, when those balls came off of his bat, they sounded like something that was shot out of a cannon.
Yep.
And it was incredible. It's because, and I was actually surprised there was that many Philly fans at the stadium. It almost, at some point, looked like 50-50.
Yeah, and there were less of them yesterday. I guess they all headed out for Father's Day. But Santander, the second home run, Harry, you saw it live and in person. That was a missile. The first one was a laser beam, too, but he crushed that second one. And look, when he gets hot, he can carry the team. The problem is, it seems as though him and Mountcastle get cold at the same time. If they could both percolate together, the Orioles would score like eight runs a game. They have that sort of potential behind them.
I would love for that to continue because, and you're right, you like to have diversification through the lineup where everyone's not struggling at the same time because they have really good hitters all throughout the lineup. Now, I need your all's help on two things. Number one, and Orioles need to do a better job at those pickoff moves. Once you throw the ball and you got to be able to get the guy in that situation, he can't be safe. So
you mean throwing it into center field's a bad thing? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that too. But even when they throw it the first, Mountcastle hit the guy in the back when he ran him down because the guy was going from first to second. So right. Now when the pitcher is set.
Oh, yeah. And the pickoff, you mean? Yeah, they had him dead to rights and he wound up beating a play.
Exactly. So that leads to my question. When the pitcher is set and they're looking and they see the guy running, do they have to throw it or can they step up and run at the runner, which will help freeze them?
They can do that. Once he starts hitting the road and he's not balking, it's open game. He can do whatever he wants to do. You run him back normally. I mean, you can throw to second. First is what you normally do, and then it's up to the first, second, shortstop, et cetera. Pitcher's got to be part of that equation, too. In a rundown, but they gaffed on that one, Harry. And they won two out of three. I'm not that's something I'm not concentrating on right now.
I'll take that, but I need them to work on that though.
Okay.
Now, Vinny, I need your help with something.
Okay,
because I'm getting conflicting stories on Trent Simpson. Is he doing well or is he not doing well?
Oh, he's doing extremely well. He's gotten bigger, stronger. He looks fast. He's his instincts and stuff. He's reading plays. He is 1,000 times better than 1 year ago today.
Okay, fantastic. And I want to say this last thing. Now, it didn't come back to hurt the Orioles, but I did not like the fact that Brandon Hyde brought in Craig Kimbrell. He used that bullet, but he didn't have to because we were up by four runs. And let's say if we had needed him for a Sunday, but fortunately we didn't, but I felt like he used the bullet when he did not need to.
I think that was more of a big middle finger to all the Philly fans that were booing him over the weekend. And by the way, it did not affect him. So, Harry, don't grasp at the negative. Look at the fact that he dominated on Friday and Saturday, and he'll be ready to rock and roll tomorrow night in New York if need be.
That's right. So Philly, they caught the smoke, and let's do the same thing against the Yankees.
That's right. Orioles, thank you, Harry. Orioles 22-9, Vinny, against teams 500 or better. And I love where people go, man, there's a big stage, and they're the ones winning on the big stage. They haven't lost a series against the American League East in, what was it, Nolan? 21 consecutive series. So can we stop with the Orioles or getting a litmus test? How about the litmus test that you play in the Orioles? Nolan, represent with that. Oh, my God, we're playing the Yankees. We're scared. Didn't the Orioles win 3 out of 4 against New York here?
They did.
If I'm not mistaken.
Should have won the fourth, too.
Exactly. You know, the Orioles are now your litmus test, Vinny, not the other way around. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Corbett Burns, what's going to take to keep him around? Because they have to. They have to in a big, big way. Orioles do need another starting pitcher for this season. How are they going to get that one done? They have a ton of prospects to sacrifice if need be to make it happen. But a lot of teams are going to need starting pitchers. And the Ravens, now it's a six-week break. We're digging at crumbs. And your first crumb today, we're breaking down the schedule.
I'm just enjoying watching him pitch every fifth or sixth day. He's just such a pro, and you guys don't see, and nobody sees the in-between starts preparation, but what he puts into every start is incredible.
Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, talking about Corbin Burns, his ace, first true ace, and this is with all due respect to Chris Tillman.
Yeah.
And Eric Bedard and others in between since Mike Mussina, who was a Hall of Fame performer. Corbin Burns has been, I'm not saying he's going to Cooperstown, I'll get it twisted here, everybody, but he's been as good as any pitcher in baseball since he came up with Milwaukee. He's already won a Cy Young. He's been in the postseason. And barring a catastrophic collapse, he'll be in the postseason again this year for the Orioles. But what we're asking is, what's he going to take to get him done? The problem is, Vinny, and you can speak to this from a former GM perspective when you were in Washington, you got an agent who's hell-bent on letting their players hit the open market.
Yep.
So how difficult is it to break down that barrier where there have been a couple of Boris clients who've done it, but most of, like 99% of them, hit the market and, you know, let things play out. Now, for Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, didn't really work out as well for them because they didn't even get in. They didn't get signed until spring training had already started. But what's the difficulty level trying to convince Boris to say, hey, man, say Mike Elias with the okay of David Rubenstein reaches out to Boris. And I'm not saying they're doing it now, but maybe by, say, August or September, somewhere along those lines.
Because
keep in mind, you still got to take care of Rutschman and Gunner here sooner or later, another Boris.
Right.
How do you get Boris to at least pass along, we'll give you whatever you want? What's it going to take, that sort of thing, to keep you in Baltimore?
Bob, number one is Elias is, I'm sure he's been doing it for a while because he has a lot of high-end Boris clients. So he's going to be dealing with Boris for a long time. So you want to have a good relationship with him. So that kind of, you know, the difference is you've got a veteran pitcher, you know, with Corbin Burns. And I don't know if Corbin Burns is like, I make my decisions, you know, I tell, you know, if, yeah, I don't know either. But I mean, that would be the benefit to the Orioles if hey, Scott Boris works for me, I don't work for Scott.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. But if he is listening, I think, Bob, because he's 30 years old, and Corbin Burns has probably done him right, or
Boris.
Boris has done Corbin Burns right all along, so maybe he trusts and believes in him. Then it's going to be towards the end of the season, I would think, or at the end of the season, because Scott Boris is going to want, you know, let's hope that Corbin Burns wins game 7 of the World Series, and they're World Series champs. And all that does is ching, ching, ching. Because, and the comparable, that's what, and Norm even mentioned, the perfect comparable is Zach Wheeler. But Zach Wheeler's 34, and his new extension starting for 3 years at 34. Corbin Burns is 30?
29. He'll be 30.
He'll be 30. So I want at least 5 years. And somebody's going to give him five or more. So if the Orioles, you know, if I'm Mike Elias, I say Scott does 45 times five, you know, is...
At 200 and some million dollars?
Yeah. I mean, that's more than anybody... He's the highest paid ever.
Yeah.
You know, does that... is that in the ballpark?
Again, no pun intended, of course, but not my money.
Right.
It's the only thing, and we've discussed it 1,000 times. We've talked about it with Kyle Bradish. Pitchers going down with these elbow things.
Yeah.
Is insane. And not even mentioning like the shoulder inflammation here or what Kramer's dealing with, the triceps. This max effort, spin rate, philosophy here. I mean, John Means isn't a guy that throws all that hard, but he uses that changeup, but still the unnatural act of throwing a ball and twisting and torquing, it kind of gets to you. So therein lies the problemo. How much are you getting for your investment?
Yep.
And keep in mind, baseball contracts are 100% guaranteed. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob. All right, other than Corbin Burns this year, is there anybody else they'd have to pay?
This year?
This after this season.
I think there's some arbitration issues they'll deal with, but you know, I'm sure they'll get that settled in a timely fashion. Means is a free agent. Santander is a free agent. That's an interesting scenario there because we just talked about he leads the majors in home runs here in June. He gets hot, he's volcano the sun hot. And sometimes you can go a couple weeks without really... There's a lot of two for this and four for that. But boy, when he heats up, which he is heating up now, he can carry you. Now, he's 30.
Yeah.
Maybe getting a little more limited defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the scrub, but he's not Roberto Clemente. Let's just put it that way. Out in right field. Good arm. Can make the diving catch. Probably transitioning more into a DH role because you got all these young outfielders we keep talking about coming up. I mean, there's got to be a role for Heston Kerstad here somewhere. Maybe it'll be for the team they trade to get a starting pitcher.
Well,
who knows? But I'm all about keeping Tony Taters. What's fair for him? I'm guessing I said $20 million a year earlier. I'm walking that back. Maybe three for 45-ish.
All right, Bob, here if I'm Rubenstein, here's what I'm telling Elias. All right. You know, the number one guy you want of all the guys that we got to sign right now is Corbin Burns. Right. All right. I'm going to pay Corbin Burns. Now, that may cost Santander. You know, you got all these young guys, it's time.
No doubt.
When does Rutschman get signed, Bob?
He's not eligible for free agency for like another 3 years. I mean, he's not even hitting arbitration yet.
Okay.
But with Adley, the question there is he's 26.
Age, right.
So this is his big payday. He'll get done. Now, here's a guy. Nolan, do you want me to make a bold projection or you want me to shut up?
How bold are you feeling?
He'll be signed within a calendar year, Adley Rutschman.
Ooh. And what would he get, Bob? Because I'm going to pay Corbin Burns. Let's say I'm Rubenstein. All right, Mike, I'm paying Corbin Burns $250 million for five. What am I paying Adley?
Yeah, I don't know if Adley gets that. I mean, you giving a catcher $45 million?
But it's so hard to...
What's the comp, Norm?
Well, I was about to say, it's so hard to find a comparable because of how strong his bat is that even once he reaches a point in his career where maybe he's not a full-time catcher... He can DH or he could probably move to first base and extend his career. There's nobody else really like him that has that strong of an offense at the catcher position. I mean, JT Realmuto, maybe, is there comparable?
What's he make?
Quite a bit from Philly, but...
He just got paid, too.
Yeah, we're not talking crazy money with these guys, though. We're maybe
they're going to ask for crazy.
Sure. But anyway, Santander, getting back to him this year.
I don't think he survives, Bob.
11.7.
If they get Corbin Burns, I think Santander's gone.
Again, it all depends on the willingness of David Rubenstein to open some checkbooks here.
Well, just because, all right, if I'm And I'm looking at if and I'd never, I would love to be a billionaire, but I've never been.
But you're close though.
Yeah, right. I wish. Bob, so if I'm signing, I'm telling you, if I'm Rubenstein and I sign Corbin Burns, all these young guys that we got, they're going to have to play the outfield. You know, you're going to have to sacrifice Santander. Unless he goes off.
And I could see that too. Could you have a Hearn? I mean, the thing that gives Tony Taters the advantage, switch hitter.
Yeah.
So he can do some damage from both sides of the plate. But that's a tough ask. For sure. Realmuto signed with the Phillies in 21. Let's see here.
115 and a half for 5 years.
Yeah. I think Adley exceeds that.
I think
that.
So too. So, yeah. I mean, you're looking at another $150
million. Hey, ain't my money.
Right.
Hey, T. Rowe Price, welcome to the party, right, everybody.
And then how many years after that do I got to pay Gunner? Which is going to be a lot.
That's a bank breaker right there. I mean, that's going to be crazy. Crazy cash. That's at least, let's be real here, the way the salaries are, that's at least 450.
Yeah, Soto's going to get over 500 mil.
Yeah, that's going to be wild. That's wild, wacky stuff, everybody. That $18 beer is going to be a $28 beer, but if it keeps Adley around, I'll pay for it. Maybe.
I mean, isn't that what the T. Rowe Price thing is about here?
I mean, are you we think gonna, you're going to have to? Hey, Norm, if to get 450 and 150 and 250,
right.
You're going to need more patches.
Well, so here's the thing: you add the patch. The previous ownership regime was toying with the idea of selling naming rights to the stadium. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at some point.
Right.
You want to increase concessions on top of.
I'm just enjoying watching him pitch every fifth or sixth day. He's just such a pro, and you guys don't see, and nobody sees the in-between starts preparation, but what he puts into every start is incredible.
Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, talking about Corbin Burns, his ace, first true ace, and this was with all due respect to Chris Tillman.
Yeah.
And Eric Bedard, and others in between, since Mike Mussina, who was a Hall of Fame performer. Corbin Burns has been, I'm not saying he's going to Cooperstown, don't get it twisted here, everybody, but he's been as good as any pitcher in baseball since he came up with Milwaukee. He's already won a Cy Young. He's been in the postseason, and barring a catastrophic collapse, he'll be in the postseason again this year for the Orioles. But what we're asking is, what's he going to take to get him done? The problem is, Vinny, and you can speak to this from a former GM perspective when you were in Washington, you got an agent who's hell-bent on letting their players hit the open market.
Yep.
So how difficult is it to break down that barrier where there have been a couple of Boris clients who've done it, but most of, like 99% of them, hit the market and, you know, let things play out. Now, for Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, didn't really work out as well for them because they didn't even get in. They didn't get signed until spring training had already started. But what's the difficulty level trying to convince Boris to say, hey, man, say Mike Elias with the okay if David Rubenstein reaches out to Boris. And I'm not saying they're doing it now, but maybe by, say, August or September, somewhere along those lines.
Because
keep in mind, you still got to take care of Rutschman and Gunner here sooner or later,
right.
How do you get Boris to at least pass along, we'll give you whatever you want? What's it going to take, that sort of thing, to keep you in Baltimore?
Bob, number one is Elias is, I'm sure he's been doing it for a while because he has a lot of high-end Boris clients. So he's going to be dealing with Boris for a long time. So you want to have a good relationship with him. So that kind of, the difference is you've got a veteran pitcher, you know, with Corbin Burns. And I don't know if Corbin Burns is like, I make my decisions, you know, I tell, you
no
know,
idea.
If, yeah, I don't know either. But I mean, that would be the benefit to the Orioles if hey, Scott Boris works for me, I don't work for Scott.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. But if he is listening, I think, Bob, because he's 30 years old, and Corbin Burns has probably done him right, or
Boris.
Boris has done Corbin Burns right all along, so maybe he trusts and believes in him. Then it's going to be towards the end of the season, I would think, or at the end of the season, because Scott Boris is going to want, you know, let's hope that Corbin Burns wins game 7 of the World Series and the World Series champs. And all that does is ching, ching, ching. Because, and the comparable, that's what, and Norm even mentioned the perfect comparable is Zach Wheeler. But Zach Wheeler's 34 and his new extension starting for 3 years at 34. Corbin Burns is 30.
29. He'll be 30.
He'll be 30. So I want at least 5 years. And somebody's going to give him five or more. So if the Orioles, you know, if I'm Mike Elias, I say Scott does 45 times five, you know, is
at 200 and some million dollars.
Yeah. I mean, that's more than anybody. He's the highest paid ever.
Yeah.
You know, does that, is that in the ballpark?
Again, no pun intended, of course, but not my money.
Right.
It's the only thing, and we've discussed it 1,000 times. And we've talked about it with Kyle Bradish. Pitchers going down with these elbow things.
Yeah.
Is insane. And not even mentioning like the shoulder inflammation here or what Kramer's dealing with, the triceps. This max effort, spin rate, philosophy here. I mean, John Means isn't a guy that throws all that hard, but he uses that changeup, but still the unnatural act of throwing a ball and twisting and torquing, it kind of gets to you. So therein lies the problemo. How much are you getting for your investment?
Yep.
And keep in mind, baseball contracts are 100% guaranteed. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob. All right, other than Corbin Burns this year, is there anybody else they'd have to pay?
This year?
This after this season?
I think there's some arbitration issues they'll deal with, but you know, I'm sure they'll get that settled in a timely fashion. Means is a free agent. Santander is a free agent. That's an interesting scenario there because we just talked about, he leads the majors in home runs here in June. He gets hot. He's volcano, the sun hot. And sometimes he can go a couple weeks without really, there's a lot of two for this and four for that. But boy, when he heats up, which he is heating up now, he can carry you. Now he's 30. Maybe getting a little more limited defensively.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a scrub, but he's not Roberto Clemente. Let's just put it that way. Out in right field. Good arm. Can make the diving catch. Probably transitioning more into a DH role because you got all these young outfielders we keep talking about coming up. I mean, there's got to be a role for Heston Kerstad here somewhere. Maybe it'll be for the team they trade to get a starting pitcher.
Well,
who knows? But I'm all about keeping Tony Taters. What's fair for him? I'm guessing, I said $20 million a year earlier. I'm walking that back. Maybe three for 45-ish.
All right, Bob, here, if I'm Rubenstein, here's what I'm telling Elias. All right. You know, the number one guy you want of all the guys that we got to sign right now is Corbin Burns. Right. All right. I'm gonna pay Corbin Burns. Now, that may cost Santander. You know, you got all these young guys. It's time.
No doubt.
When does Rutschman get signed, Bob?
He's not eligible for free agency for like another 3 years. I mean, he's not even hitting arbitration yet.
Okay.
But with Adley, the question there is he's 26.
Age, right.
So this is his big payday. He'll get done. Now, here's a guy. Nolan, do you want me to make a bold projection or you want me to shut up?
How bold are you feeling?
He'll be signed within a calendar year, Adley Rutschman.
Ooh. What would he get, Bob? Because I'm going to pay Corbin Burns. Let's say I'm Rubenstein. All right, Mike, I'm paying Corbin Burns $250 million for five. What am I paying Adley?
Yeah, I don't know if Adley gets that. I mean, you're giving a catcher $45 million?
But it's so hard to...
What's the comp, Norm?
Well, I was about to say, it's so hard to find a comparable there because isn't. Of how strong his bat is that even once he reaches a point in his career where maybe he's not a full-time catcher, he can DH or he could probably move to first base and extend his career. There's nobody else really like him that has that strong of an offense at the catcher position. I mean, JT Realmuto, maybe, is there comparable?
What's he make?
Quite a bit from Philly, but...
He just got paid, too.
Yeah, they're not. We're not talking crazy money with these guys, though. We're maybe
they're going to ask for crazy.
Sure. But anyway, Santander, getting back to him this year.
I don't think he survives, Bob.
11.7
If they get Corbin Burns, I think Santander's gone.
Again, it all depends on the willingness of David Rubenstein to open some checkbooks here.
Well, just because, all right, if I'm... And I'm looking at if and I'd never, I would love to be a billionaire, but I've never been.
But you're close, though.
Yeah, right. I wish. Bob, so if I'm signing, I'm telling you, if I'm Rubenstein and I sign Corbin Burns, all these young guys that we got, they're going to have to play the outfield. You know, you're going to have to sacrifice Santander. Unless, Bob, unless he goes off.
And I could see that, too. Could you have a Hearn? I mean, the thing that gives Tony Taters the advantage, he's a switch hitter.
Yeah.
So he can do some damage from both sides of the plate. But that's a tough ask for sure. Realmuto signed with the Phillies in 21. Let's see here.
115 and a half for 5 years.
Yeah. I think Adley exceeds
I think
that.
So, too. So, yeah. I mean, you're looking at another $150 million.
Hey, ain't my money.
Right.
Hey, T. Real Price, welcome to the party, everybody.
And then how many years after that do I got to pay Gunner, which is going to be a lot.
That's a bank breaker right there. I mean, that's going to be crazy. Crazy cash. That's at least, let's be real here, the way the salaries are, that's at least $450 million.
Yeah, Soto's going to get over $500 million.
Yeah, that's going to be wild. That's wild, wacky stuff, everybody. That $18 beer... It's going to be a $28 beer, but if it keeps Adley around, I'll pay for it. Maybe.
I mean, isn't that what the T. Rowe Price thing is about here?
I mean, are we think? You're going to have to... Hey, Norm, if to get $450 and $150 and $250,
right.
You're going to need more patches.
Well, so here's the thing. You add the patch. The previous ownership regime was toying with the idea of selling naming rights to the stadium. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens at some point.
Right.
You want to increase concessions on top of that? I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. By the way, it's a new ownership group. It's not just Rubenstein with his money.
Right.
And his money by himself is a lot of money.
Yeah,
but
Grant
he's
Hill
got Bloomberg. I mean, that's a whole team. Their money combined compared to previous ownership group, it's not even close. So, well, quite frankly, I don't think they need all the frills to pay these guys.
So you're saying even if they sign, spend freely, whatevs, and I'm down with that, by the way, don't raise concessions.
There's
always a trickle. Maybe it's into your cable bill and what you got to pay to watch them and whatever service.
The thing you got to realize, too, Bob, is, all right, you're winning. That's why these guys are going to get paid. So there's 30-some thousand people, you're averaging 2.5 or 3 million fans, so you're making a lot more money than the Angelos has ever did.
Right. We're talking about here, everybody, a window of success that could last five. I mean, there's still enough controllable guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Burns leaves. See, the injuries to the pitching staff, though, that's the problemo there. We're like, hey, if Means is healthy and Grayson's a stud, and let's knock on wood, he stays healthy. But, you know, where's the other? Bradish is now hurt. And, well, I mean, there's a scarcity of arms. So that's why. But prior to that, all right, Burns walks. It's all good. He helps us win a World Series and drinks a beer. We talked about it before. Now it's like, man, we got to keep him around because we're kind of running out of people here.
He's best pitcher in baseball.
And if they make a trade, I'm assuming, and Lizardo signed through, a couple more years, he's going to look for controllable guys where he doesn't have to dance this sort of dance 12 months from now.
Bob, would you say that getting Burns signed is like the Ravens when they got Lamar signed?
I think that's Gunner. That's Gunner's going to be the Lamar. But Burns signed, I don't know if there's a comparable there.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be your biggest... It'd be a huge deal.
Sure.
Just because the Orioles have not handed out that kind of money, if at all, the position player or, I mean, yeah, I know Chris Davis got it, but those kinds of contracts are still rare.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. We'll come back. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Charles Walker, Baltimore Sun. Talk some Ravens with him. As many camps over, now it's the wait till training camp 2024, as we talked about on Friday. Good news for the Ravens outside of Keaton Mitchell. No major injury problems. Well, maybe Marlon Humphrey's becoming a problem. And there's no contract issues, so no threats of holdout or anything like that. So everything seems to be all systems go for Baltimore. Whip around 11:15. What happened in the world of sports? Well, it was a ton over the weekend. Mike Axisa, CBSSports.com. Talked to MLB with him. As, you know, there are 25 teams that are looking at the standings right now and still think they have a chance to go to the playoffs. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think me just doing my job and executing, being efficient in everything that I do, so we help one another. And my job is just being explosive, making explosive runs.
It's Derrick Henry, new feature back for your Baltimore Ravens. Met with the media a few days back. Question was, what's he going to do to help take pressure off Lamar Jackson? And Vinny, you just heard him say it.
Yeah.
Be me, basically. And if he's him... And I think he's going to have a monster. I think we both agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have a monster year. Maybe not 2,000 yards monster, but 5 yards a carry, double-digit touchdowns, makes the play action more creative and effective. I think Derrick Henry is primed for a big season, and he takes pressure off of Lamar by doing what mainly? In the grand scheme of things.
I think the way defenses are going to attack you, I think what it does is it gives Lamar the opportunity to get the ball down the field more, kind of like with the play action pass and all those, kind of like when Kubiak was here. Remember Bombs Away?
Oh,
when Gary was here? Yeah, I think that's how it can be. I mean, if Henry has a big year, Bob, Lamar will be back-to-back MVPs.
Really?
I think so, because if Henry has a real big year, all that does is open up everything for Lamar. And, you know, Andrews and likely will be, you know, big, and Flowers will have a big year. I totally believe that, because last year, other than Lamar, any running, well, for a couple weeks, Keaton Mitchell did, but otherwise, no running backs really scared you.
Yeah, because Gus, he averaged 4 yards a carry, which in theory is not bad, but he was a 5 yard a carry guy his entire career.
He was,
and he vultured a lot of touchdowns
too. Yeah, he was the touchdown maker. He was the short yardage goal line guy, and to me that's what he is. And with Henry Bob, I'll admit this, I'm kind of like Taggart was. You know, when I watched the film of him at Tennessee, would he really fit and all that? That same thing that I, you know, I wanted other running backs other than Henry. And then when you see him live and in person, just like Taggart, damn, he's much quicker and stuff. So I'm right there with him now. I think he's going to help a lot, just because defenses, before it was like, all right, what do we got to do to stop Lamar? All right, if we're doing this to stop, then how are we stopping Henry?
Let me ask you this before we get to the phones real quick. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Talk Ravens, Charles Walker, top of the hour. But we saw in Tennessee, saw it against the Ravens in a playoff game. He's thrown a couple touchdown passes in his career. Does Todd Monken put that in the old play-calling vault because everyone's expecting him to get the ball, and then he does, and all of a sudden, the little tight end's leaking out there wide open for a touchdown?
No, I can imagine that's going to be in the repertoire too. And Bob, some of the stuff that I see at practice, I can't say, but they do have people doing that.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. What's happening, everybody, on this beautiful Monday in Baltimore? It's going to be great all week. Apparently a little on the hot side, so do what you got to do. Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling, bud?
Feeling good, Bob. How you doing, Vinny?
Good.
Cool, man. Great segment, fellas. I love the Orioles talk when it comes to how we're going to manage these things going forward. And, you know, I think the really good points that you guys made was, and look, D'Angelo's is the only thing they did was pocket money. But, you know, I'd like to see Tony Tater stay around for the leadership role and his ability to be an explosive player on the field. I think those other guys are going to definitely get signed to really good contracts. But I think the end of the day, David Rubenstein, he's used to maneuvering this kind of money and moving it around and so on. And that's where it's a whole 180-degree difference from the previous owners. But big things to come for the Orioles, right?
Yeah, oh, no doubt, Kevin.
And we're getting ready to see.
Happy belated Father's Day,
yeah,
brother.
We're getting ready to see Rubenstein's M.O., what he's going to do.
Rubenstein.
And I'm guessing he's going to spend.
Look, what was it, about a year ago this time, Nolan, that John Angelos went to the New York Times and said, enjoy it while it lasts.
Right.
Because we're all going to be gone. Can't afford all this nonsense. But getting back to Taters, I think a three-year deal between 15 and 20, is that fair, feasible? But as you talked about, Vinny, and we mentioned it last segment, Nolan, getting here as we close up the hour, 3 for $45 to $50 for Tony Taters. You signing that check?
No, I got to have a we got to have a serious conversation about it.
Okay.
To shorten it, there's not enough time here. But
all right.
There's players that are expendable and there's players that aren't.
All right. I guess he falls into Nolan's expendable category. We'll get into that next hour. We'll come back, talk to NFL Ravens, that is, with Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun. Also look back, because Childs is the boxing writer for the Baltimore Sun, and take Davis's flatline knockout of Frank Martin on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think me just doing my job and executing, being efficient in everything that I do, so we help one another. And my job is just being explosive, making explosive runs.
It's Derrick Henry, new feature back for your Baltimore Ravens. Met with the media a few days back. Question was, what's he going to do to help take pressure off Lamar Jackson? And Vinny, you just heard him say it.
Yeah.
Be me, basically. And if he's him, and I think he's going to have a monster. I think we both agree with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have a monster year. Maybe not 2,000 yards monster, but 5 yards a carry, double-digit touchdowns, makes the play action more creative and effective. I think Derrick Henry is primed for a big season, and he takes pressure off of Lamar by doing what mainly in the grand scheme of things?
I think the way defenses are going to attack you, I think what it does is it gives Lamar the opportunity to get the ball down the field more, kind of like with the play action pass and all those, kind of like when Kubiak was here. Remember Bombs Away?
Oh, sure.
When Gary was here? Yeah, I think that's how it can be. I mean, if Henry has a big year, Bob, Lamar will be back-to-back MVPs.
Really?
I think so, because if Henry has a real big year, all that does is open up everything for Lamar and, you know, Andrews, and likely he'll be, you know, big, and Flowers will have a big year. I totally believe that, because last year, other than Lamar, for a couple weeks, Keaton Mitchell did, but otherwise, no running backs really scared you.
Yeah, because Gus, he averaged 4 yards a carry, which in theory is not bad, but he was a 5 yard a carry guy his entire career.
He
vultured a lot of touchdowns too.
Yeah, he was the touchdown maker. He was the short yardage goal line guy, and to me that's what he is. And with Henry Bob, I'll admit this, I'm kind of like Taggart was. You know, when I watched the film of him at Tennessee, would he really fit and all that? That same thing that I wanted other running backs other than Henry. And then when you see him live and in person, just like Taggart, damn, he's much quicker and stuff. So I'm right there with him now. I think he's going to help a lot, just because defenses, before it was like, all right, what do we got to do to stop Lamar? All right, if we're doing this to stop, then how are we stopping Henry?
Let me ask you this before we get to the phones real quick. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Talk Ravens, Childs Walker, top of the hour. But we saw in Tennessee, saw it against the Ravens in a playoff game. He's thrown a couple touchdown passes in his career. Does Todd Monken put that in the old play-calling vault because everyone's expecting him to get the ball, and then he does, and all of a sudden, the little tight end's leaking out there wide open for a touchdown?
No, I can imagine that's going to be in the repertoire too. And Bob, some of the stuff that I see at practice, I can't say, but they do have people doing that.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. What's happening, everybody, on this beautiful Monday in Baltimore? It's going to be great all week. Apparently a little on the hot side, so do what you got to do. Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, good morning. How you feeling, bud?
Feeling good, Bob. How you doing, Vinny?
Good.
Cool, man. Great segment, fellas. I love the Orioles talk when it comes to how we're going to manage these things going forward. And, you know, I think the really good points that you guys made was, and look, the Angelos is the only thing they did was pocket money. But, you know, I'd like to see Tony Tater stay around for the leadership role and his ability to be an explosive player on the field. I think those other guys are going to definitely get signed to really good contracts. But I think the end of the day, David Rubenstein, he's used to maneuvering this kind of money and moving it around and so on. And that's where it's a whole 180-degree difference from the previous owners. But big things to come for the Orioles, right?
Yeah, oh, no doubt, Kevin.
And we're getting
happy belated Father's Day,
brother. Yeah, we're getting ready to see Rubenstein's M.O., what he's going to do.
Rubenstein.
And I'm guessing he's going to spend.
Look, what was it, about a year ago this time, Nolan, that John Angelos went to the New York Times and said, enjoy it while it lasts.
Right.
Because we're all going to be gone. He can't afford all this nonsense. But getting back to Taters, I think a three-year deal between 15 and 20, is that fair, feasible? But as you talked about, Vinny, and we mentioned it last segment, Nolan, get in here as we close up the hour. 3 for $45 to $50 for Tony Taters. You signing that check?
No, I got to have we got to have a serious conversation about it.
Okay.
To shorten it, there's not enough time here. But
all right.
There's players that are expendable and there's players that aren't.
All right. I guess he falls into Nolan's expendable category. Yep. We'll get into that next hour. We'll come back, talk to NFL Ravens, that is, with Childs Walker from the Baltimore Sun. Also look back, because Childs is the boxing writer for the Baltimore Sun, and take Davis's flatline knockout of Frank Martin on Saturday night.